everybody. Welcome back to Radio Imbibe from Imbibe Magazine. I'm Paul Clark, the executive editor of Imbibe, and I'm hoping that you've been listening to this podcast for a while, that you've made a spot for it in your regular listening routine while you're driving or working out or doing the dishes or whatever. Because if you have, then you may have noticed that we've been on a bit of a Scotch whiskey kick lately. We've got a lovely glass of Scotch on the cover of our March-April issue and a big feature story inside that issue looking at the world of Scotch whiskey. Part of what we wanted to show you in that feature is that Scotch whiskey is not a static category. While it has a rich history and tons of tradition behind it, it's not stuck in the past. Instead, Scotch is a vibrant part of the spirits world, in large part thanks to some of the talented and insightful individuals who work in Scotch whiskey these days. We talked to a handful of those individuals for our Scotch feature, and we've shared full interviews with two of those people in recent episodes, Brown-Forman master blender Dr. Rachel Berry and drinks journalist and whiskey educator Becky Paskin. For this episode, we wanted to share a full interview with another person who's guiding today's whiskey conversations, Ardbeg's U.S. National Brand Ambassador, Cameron George. Cameron's a former bartender from Seattle who I've known for a number of years. And these days, Cameron is sharing the word about Scotch whiskey in general, and Ardbeg in particular, with industry audiences, and challenging some of the preconceived notions that many of us have when it comes to Scotch whiskey. Here's my full interview with Cameron George from Ardbeg. For our March-April issue, we get into Scotch whiskey. We get deep into Scotch whiskey, and as part of that coverage, we included brief snippets from conversations with a number of individuals in today's Scotch whiskey world who are helping to drive the larger conversation, not only about the spirit, but about what that spirit means for bartenders and drinkers today. You and I chatted for that issue about your work with Ardbeg, and I wanted to come back and revisit that conversation a bit to share it with others via the podcast. Now, you and I have known each other for a long time now. You're originally from Seattle. You're based back here now, and you were a bartender here in town for many years, including at Barrio, a great tequila and mezcal bar. So as you well know, from the growth of cocktail culture and the rising prominence of spirits like mezcal and rum agricole and other once esoteric products, consumers are increasingly looking for things that are not only have intriguing and sometimes challenging flavor profiles, but they're also looking for spirits with a story behind them and a sense of place. How does Scotch whiskey in general, and Ardbeg in particular, fit into this world and this conversation?
Part of the beauty of the spirits that you just aforementioned, being mezcal and rum agricole, and then ultimately heavily peated single malt Scotch whiskeys, part of the beauty of those spirit categories is that not only do they promote an element of provenance, right? They evoke immediately senses that are representative of the earth from which they're hewn, but they're also high ester, which means that they're incredibly expressive, right? So to me, part of this beauty that you know that we find ourselves in when we're talking about how these can be used as ingredients in cocktails, for me, really what I'm looking to achieve is represent the birthplace and the place of origin of a lot of these spirits. And so for a whiskey like Ardbeg 10 Year, you know, there really is no other spirit that elevates that element of provenance the way that Ardbeg 10 Year does. The way that, you know, when I dig my nose down into a glass of Ardbeg, immediately the salinity, the herbaceous and herbal notes really start to jump to the forefront. Those are all representative of its place of origin. And then when I think about how to intertwine those into a cocktail, the applications are much more vast than just looking at it as like a peaty, smoky whiskey. I don't necessarily think that smoke is one flavor. I think it's a vehicle for other flavors. So I fell in love with making, you know, wonderfully smoky and extravagant cocktails at Barrio, which you mentioned. You know, my role now today is, you know, still to create a lot of these beautiful cocktails the exact same way I did when I was a bartender. But even more so now, it's actually about how to teach bartenders how to look not necessarily past mezcal, but how to view heavily peated whiskeys as no longer a monolith, and how to see that each of these bottlings has a unique expression and a thumbprint that can be superimposed into the format of almost any cocktail, whether it be the sours, whether it be your daiquiris, your highballs, especially whiskeys coming from Ardbeg can elevate cocktails of a wide array of styles.
That's a great point. And, you know, as you mentioned, Ardbeg is an Islay malt. Ardbeg is a heavily peated malt, intensely peated malt that has a very distinctive character and flavor. When you're first engaging with bartenders or with consumers who are maybe unfamiliar with the brand or who have these preconceived notions that peated whiskeys, that all Scotch whiskey tastes like that, how do you tell whiskey's story in a way that's relatable to them and that can bring those audiences into the whiskey fold?
I would say, as we mentioned, Ardbeg's distinct nature comes from its place of origin, right? That discussion of provenance, that discussion of the human hands that make it, that discussion of how Mother Nature is going to inform the direction, the overall direction of that whiskey as well. Whiskey is one of the most beautiful spirit categories in the world because it's an amalgam of humanity, mankind, ingenuity, as well as us working with Mother Nature as well, right? And so to bring these whiskeys into perspective for a lot of people, I try to humanize them. You know, everybody can absolutely relate to body weather. Everybody can relate to missed flight. Those two first elements alone, that's half of the journey of getting to Islay. You know, so I oftentimes begin our tastings and our stories with not necessarily brand stories, but personal stories about my history with the brand, my history with the region as well. And oftentimes that story, that communication begins with just the journey of how to even get on to Islay. A lot of whiskey drinkers don't necessarily know the regions of Scotland, let alone why Islay whiskeys are incredibly important. So with telling the story of, you know, taking a flight from either Edinburgh or Glasgow, not only do I build context for regionality, but I also get to build a little bit of historical context as well, because I generally work in there that Islay, although it is the queen of the Hebridean Islands, it's not the smallest, it's not the largest, but it is actually one of the closest to Ireland. And so in the history of the global category of whiskey, Ireland generally claims that they created, you know, whiskey, but I think that Scotland is where it was perfected. And that little island of Islay would have been a waypoint or a stopping point for whiskey as it moved from Ireland over into the heartland of Scotland. So with those stories that aim to humanize the spirit by speaking more so about my interactions with the region and with the distillery, I'm able to kind of build these little branches off that start to contextualize not only the brand, but the category. Especially for new consumers.
When you're talking about Scotch whiskey in general, you know, this history and the backstory can be a thing that a lot of people think they might already know, or that's kind of predictable and that they're already familiar with it. But when you engage as a brand ambassador, what aspects of whiskey's history and culture may not be as well known and merit further exploration and provide these kinds of ways to better connect with people?
You know, again, people often approach not only the category of single malt Scotch whiskey as if it's, just one, one block, as if it's a monolith. And they oftentimes assume that the progression of the category has been in lockstep with that idea, that it's predictable in a way. And I don't believe that Scotch whiskey or its history is predictable in any way, shape, or form. Current landscape, you have over 130 plus distilleries that all make spirits that are as unique and vast as, you know, the multiverse, right? There's an incredible array of possible flavors and spirit profiles that come from the whiskeys of Scotland. That's why I fell in love with it. And that's why so many people around the world have fallen in love with the category as well. The spirit in the category as well have been shaped by advancements in technology, have been shaped by tariffs, have been shaped by war, taxation. All of these things are incredibly beautiful and romantic stories once you start to dig down into them. In particular, areas where I think contemporary whiskey connoisseurs really find interest. I already mentioned that Islay kind of being a waypoint in terms of the pilgrimage of whiskey from Ireland over to Scotland. I think that contemporary whiskey drinkers are fascinated by this. I think they're also fascinated by the history of the island in general, at its height having over 26 distilleries. Now that's almost unfathomable, right? You look at this at the region of Islay right now, with a handful of distilleries, under 3,000 people that live on the island as well. So geographically, it's difficult for us to wrap our minds around this island being, you know, formerly being one of the most important, you know, regions in Scotch whiskey production. You know, so that I think is quite fascinating to a lot of people. The rolling closures of the 1980s and early 1990s for Ardbeg, as well as many other distilleries in the Scotch whiskey universe, as well as many other heavily peated whiskey distilleries that closed because of the whiskey lock in the 1980s. All of these things are incredibly romantic stories to be able to tell. So not only do I feel blessed to tell the stories of Ardbeg, but also the stories of how the category was shaped.
In addition to the history and the backstory, which is all really compelling, consumers are also looking at the contemporary culture surrounding spirits today. Not just the people and places behind their production, but the ways the spirits are marketed and efforts to include women and Black and Indigenous and people of color at every level of that conversation. I talked to a number of people in the whiskey world while working on this feature, and one of those people is our mutual friend and colleague, Monique Houston, who's with Winebow in Chicago. We were talking about whiskey's image and its reputation as largely a male thing and a white male thing and an older white male thing. And she remarked that the whiskey industry in some ways has recognized that when it comes to gender equity and has made some steps to remedy that in terms of things like its hiring decisions and its marketing. Though another guest that we had on this podcast and who was also in the magazine, Becky Paskin, co-founder of Our Whiskey, is working to make sure that the industry continues to follow through and to advance on this front. As you said, you're the only Black brand ambassador for a single malt Scotch whiskey from your experience in working in the industry. What kinds of progress has been made in terms of expanding the scope, the way whiskey is talked about and represented and marketed? And where's there still an opportunity and where's there still need for the whiskey world to engage?
At this point, yes, I am the only national ambassador who is Black representing a single malt Scotch whiskey, you know, distillery and brand. I would say that proof that roles like this role and roles like it are proof of advancements in this space. My good friend Tracy Franklin previously worked for Glenfiddich as well. When she accepted that role, that meant that there were two of us, and then she moved on to some more incredible projects as well. And it's back down to just me. And one is the loneliest number, but you know, I do believe that the door has been left open and that the table is set for much more diversity and inclusivity in this spirit category. And I know that it's top of mind, and you know, DEI and inclusion are top of mind, not only for Moët Hennessy, but for many, many different brands that operate within this spirit category. At MH, and even more so in particular at Glenmorangie and Ardbeg, Glenmorangie just launched this a wonderful new ad campaign and platform that welcomes a vibrant, more energetic, and much more diverse consumer set into the space. Actually, aforementioned Becky Paskin, great friend and great friend to the brands as well, you know, said on a conversation about diversity and inclusivity that she was actually moved to tears by the new ad campaign. Because it was so 180 degrees away from the traditional marketing scheme that has plagued Scotch whiskey. You know, traditional marketing of Scotch whiskey has made it more exclusive than inclusive. You know, when we think about the traditional Scotch whiskey consumer, it's not necessarily people of color or you know, a diverse tapestry that comes to mind. And I'm very happy and very proud to be part of the rewriting and reimagining of what this tapestry looks like. You know, roles like mine give me immense faith that the Scotch whiskey industry is headed in a more equitable direction. And I cannot speak, you know, highly enough of the Glenmorangie Company and Ardbeg, the way that they have not only listened to, but also responded to the calls for equity from, you know, from markets around the world is wonderful and very beautiful to see.
Well, Cameron, it's always my pleasure to cross paths with you. And I'm looking forward to your time, hopefully very soon, when we can do that in person again. And thanks so much for being part of the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me and continuing to create spaces of equality and equity for all people and elevating the entire industry as well. So I'm very happy to be a part of that.
You can find Cameron on Instagram at ArdbegCam and head to ardbeg.com to find out more about this awesome Islay single malt. And that's it for this episode. Be sure to follow Radio Imbibe on your favorite podcast platform to see where we're taking you next as we head deeper into springtime. Check us out online at imbibemagazine.com for plenty of whiskey suggestions and cocktail recipes, as well as many more articles and drink ideas. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Pinterest to see what we're up to day to day. And if you're not already a subscriber to the print and or digital issues of Imbibe, then let's change that. Follow the link in this episode's notes to subscribe. I'm Paul Clark. This is Radio Imbibe. Catch you next time.